Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our subject today is to rest in the Lord. The Bible text is from Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 and 2. It says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, I will never be shaken." This text declares absolute rest, salvation, and steadfastness, which is found in God. But how can we promise of complete safety in God by be reconciled with the reality of suffering and death among believers? These verses speak of a deep trust in God as the unshakable rock and refuge. When we read these verses, they appear to promise that those who trust in God will not be moved or harmed in any way. However, the biblical context also testifies that believers do experience trials, suffering, and even physical death. We have to understand what complete safety means. Let us understand how the Bible harmonizes the promise of complete safety in God with the reality that God's people still face affliction and mortality on earth. Psalm 62 verses a picture of fortress and salvation and a rock-like stability in God. The Hebrew words behind these terms emphasize reliability, shelter, and deliverance. This complete safety signifies spiritual security and ultimate deliverance rather than a guarantee of exemption from all earthly challenges. First, we look at spiritual protection. The promise of safety focuses on the believer's eternal well-being. Physical adversity and risks persist, like trials, illness, persecution, and death. Yet the psalm points to a security beyond earthly circumstances, a resting of the soul in God's unchangeable nature. And then faith. The phrase, "I will never be shaken," which is in verse 2, points more to the steadfastness of faith than to a life immune to trouble. The verse speaks of the unshakable nature of the believer's relationship with God. He will hold them firm even in the face of suffering. There is the reality of suffering and death among believers. Throughout Scripture, there is a clear acknowledgement that believers can and do suffer. We have examples. First, we have the biblical testimony of righteous suffering. Job endured tremendous tests and physical affliction. His unwavering faith demonstrates that godly individuals can experience profound suffering without contradiction of God's protective care. The Apostle Paul faced imprisonment, beatings, and eventually martyrdom. Yet he affirmed the sustaining power and ultimate safety he had in Christ. Yet he suffered, but he trusted in God. And death is a universal human experience. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that the entrance of sin into the world, how it came into the world, leading to physical mortality. Even the faithful saints die. Yet scripture points to the resurrection hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 22, it says, "But in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, and by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Paul says here that physical death is not the ultimate defeat, but a translation into eternal presence with God. Also, we have historical accounts of believers. From the early Christian martyrs, documented by historians, to contemporary believers who face persecution worldwide, many have risked and lost their life for their faith. Yet, accounts of their peace amid suffering reveal an inner security that aligns with the promise of Psalm 62. Let's look at the theological perspective on the security in God. First, spiritual versus temporal deliverance. Sometimes God intervenes miraculously to preserve physical life, like with Daniel or the three men in the fire. But the Bible teaches that the most critical deliverance is spiritual rescue from eternal separation. So complete safety in Psalm 62 highlights a deliverance that transcends earthly pain and guarantees salvation of the soul. God has also a purpose in suffering. Various passages teach that suffering can refine believers, drawing them closer to God. We have in Romans and in James these verses. This redemptive outcome does not say that God doesn't protect, but shows that he uses trials to shape our character and foster our dependence on him. Then we have also an eternal outlook. It says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 17, in a Berean study Bible, "For our light and momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal glory that is far beyond comparison." Physical suffering on earth is fading when we are weighing it against eternal security and glory. Psalm 62's promise of safety, therefore, points to an assurance that extends beyond the temporal realm. We have scriptural witness about Psalm 62. In the Old Testament, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. It says, "The eternal God is your dwelling place. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." This shows that God's protecting care has eternal dimensions. David repeatedly affirms refuge in God. In Psalm 46 and Psalm 91 also. This shows that while believers face threats, they have a place of shelter for their souls. The New Testament is verifying this. Jesus himself warned his disciples that they would face trouble in this world. In this world, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Yet he promised them peace in him that is unshakable beyond worldly troubles. Romans 8, 38 and 39 promise, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Death itself does not annul God's promise of ultimate safety. We also have our archaeological manuscript evidence. Psalms were discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they reflect a high degree of textual consistency, supporting the reliability of this plea for God's protective hand. Ancient manuscripts confirm that the biblical text has been transmitted accurately. They underline that Psalm 62's message of refuge in God is authentic and faithfully preserved. So what does that have to do with us today? God is cultivating spiritual confidence. When uncertainty or pain comes, you can foster the habit of trusting in God's sovereignty. Praying Psalm 62 as a personal affirmation realigns your heart with God's role as protector and foundation. We embrace eternal perspectives. Although suffering is painful, recognizing that God's promises extend into eternity shapes how we respond. It encourages patience, persistence, and peace, even when the circumstances threaten to unsettle us. Also, when believers who suffer reflect unwavering trust in a trustworthy God, they point others towards a deep source of security. This has been historically documented through martyr accounts and persists in modern testimonies of faith under persecution. Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2 declares absolute rest, salvation, and steadfastness in God. The complete safety is not a guarantee of trouble-free life, but a promise that reaches far beyond physical circumstances. Throughout the Bible, from Job to Apostle Paul, and through countless faithful believers throughout in history, it becomes clear that physical suffering, and even death, do not nullify God's protective power over the believer's ultimate destiny. While Christians may encounter trials, God's promises stand firm. He provides ultimate shelter
and ensures that no affliction can separate his people from his saving presence. Believers live with a secure hope rooted in the eternal God, whose love and redemption endure forever. This is how the reality of suffering and death coexists with the robust assurance of safety in God. It's an assurance found upon his unchanging character and upheld by his word, which has been consistently and reliably preserved throughout centuries. Only God has the resources we need and the ability to fully carry out his will. Mm-hmm. When we realize this, we have peace of mind. The natural mind is ever prone to reason when we ought to believe, to work when we ought to be quiet, or to go our own way when we ought to walk in God's way. This is why God keeps us waiting. All that is of self and nature must be silenced. One voice after another has to cease to boast. One light after another has to be put out until the soul is shut up to God alone. From him comes my salvation. In many psalms, David begins the psalm with this testimony, about the great need of describing his present crisis. Here David began by declaring his great confidence and trust that he has in God. Psalm 62 seems to come from a time of trouble, yet it asks God for nothing. It is full of faith and trust, but has no fear, no despair, and no petition. He only is my rock and my salvation. David trusted in God alone for his strength and stability. And this is how we should be completely focused upon God for his help, firmly resolved not to look nowhere else. Because God is our rock. Mm-hmm. In him, I trust. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.